שלום, אנחנו בשיעור בנושא אמונה.
Hello, we are in a lesson on the topic of faith about vision. We're going to read selected excerpts from the sources. We are in excerpt number 11. The study material is on the site. And in the Arvut system, you should click on the study material button in the upper menu. You can ask questions both on the site. Selected questions will be asked during the lesson.
Yes, we're continuing in the same primary topic in the wisdom of Kabbalah, how to attain the spiritual force, the force of bestowal, that towards us, relative to our nature, it is the force of love of others, bestowal to the Creator, bestowal to everything that exists outside of men. And towards that, we want to more and more and more each and every day to take a step forward and to make such actions that they can awaken the upper force, the force of bestowal, so that it will influence us. And that we will truly begin to feel that it is possible to be outside ourselves, outside our will to receive, and to think about what is above men. So let's read, Dudi.
So
we are reading in a document, Faith Above Reason, excerpt number 11, from Shemati 14. The Romemut, exaltedness or sublimity of the Creator, means that one should ask the Creator for the strength to go above reason. This means that there are two interpretations to the Romemut, exaltedness of the Creator. One, to not be filled with knowledge, which is the intellect with which one can answer one's questions. Rather, he wants the Creator to answer his questions. It is called Romemut because all the wisdom comes from above and not from man. Meaning that man can answer his own questions. Anything that one can answer is regarded as answering everything with the external mind. This means that the will to receive understands that it is worthwhile to observe Torah and mitzvot, commandments. However, if the above reason compels one to work, it is called against the opinion of the will to receive.
Two,
the greatness of the Creator, exaltedness of the Creator, means that one becomes needy of the Creator to grant his wishes. Therefore, one should go above reason. Then one sees that he is empty and becomes needy of the Creator. Two, only the Creator can give him the strength to be able to go above reason. In other words, what the Creator gives is called the exaltedness of the Creator. Dear Rav, what does it mean that the Creator will answer him?
I want that what I do, it will be managed by the force of bestowal. And this is what I ask the Creator for. It cannot be that I will receive the force of bestowal from above, from the Creator, if I do not ask for it. Because that would be called coercion. But rather it has to be according to the desire, according to the yearning of the person. This is how he accordingly receives help from the Creator. And if he asks for an egoistic force, the force of reception, then he will receive the force of reception and he will see how much this eventually brings him only bad. Not immediately, but he will learn more and more how much he truly wants the force of reception. He truly wants the force of reception. Then he gets from above the support for that until he sees that it's not to his benefit. And this is how we learn, the whole of humanity learns in this way, even though it hasn't yet reached that result, the correct summary, bottom line. And so what we have to demand from the Creator is the force of bestow. How can we? Only in a form that we connect between us and we begin to raise from us, from our connection, a deficiency. We want to be connected with our, in our inner dispositions into one great disposition. And that disposition, we want to serve it to the Creator, that we want to get from Him the force of bestow. And that, so that that force of bestow will dwell among us, and it's not to our benefit that we need it, but rather that we will build it in such a way that common, that great common force of bestow, so it will all be directed back to the Creator. And then it will be called I to my beloved and my beloved to me. This is how we will advance.
Это значит, что если мы вот так вот направляем себя на Творца,
does that mean that if we direct ourselves in this way to the Creator through the connection between us, by this we seemingly bestow upon Him, and at the same time we're under the influence of His power?
We cannot give anything to the Creator. But the fact that we want to receive from Him the force of bestow, by that we give Him contentment. All of His pleasure is in that that He bestows. Therefore, we need to try to establish within us a yearning for the force of bestow. And then to connect, to join all of our individual desires to bestow together in the tent through each one shall help his friend. This is how we achieve, this is how we present to him our deficiency for bestow. What is our deficiency for bestow? That if we ask from the Creator, the force of bestow, in order to connect together, we by that want to give Him a place to in which to bestow to us. And there is no greater pleasure than that we can give Him. If we want to become equipped with the force of bestow, which is called the force of faith, or the force of binah, the light of chasadim, this is called to bestow in order to bestow, or an incomplete righteous, or intermediate. And later on, we even want to reach the quality of receiving in order to bestow. When we want to receive from the Creator all of the bounty and the abundance, everything that He wants to give us, actually everything that He has, so that we gradually build within us the deficiencies to receive it in order to bestow. And by that, we give contentment, true contentment, to the Creator. As it says that more than the calf wishes to suckle, the cow wants to feed. This is how we advance and also come closer to I to my beloved and my beloved to me. Until we give the Creator the deficiency and He gives us fulfillment. And by that, we begin to truly be in adhesion with each other. Our deficiency is to receive from Him in order to give Him contentment. and his feeling is in that he feels us. Okay, Dudi.
ציטוט מספר 12 מתוך
Next excerpt. Excerpt number 12 from Shamati number 16. It is written, "Woe unto you who desire the day of the Lord. Why do you need the day of the Lord? It is darkness and not light." The thing is that those who await the day of the Lord, it means that they are waiting to be imparted faith above reason, that faith will be so strong as if they see with their eyes with certainty that it is so, that the Creator watches over the world in a manner of good and doing good. In other words, they do not want to see how the Creator leads the world as the good who does good, since seeing is contradictory to faith. In other words, faith is precisely where it is against reason. And when one does what is against one's reason, this is called faith above reason. This means that they believe that the guidance of the Creator over the creatures is in a manner of good and doing good. While they do not see it with absolute certainty, they do not say to the Creator, "We want to see the quality of the good and doing good as seeing within reason." Rather, they want it to remain in them as faith above reason. But they ask of the Creator to give them such strength that this faith will be so strong as if they see it within reason, that there will be no difference between faith and knowledge in the mind. This is what they, those who want to adhere to the Creator, refer to as the Day of the Lord. Excerpt number 13. It is impossible to obtain disclosure before one receives a discernment of Ahorayim, posterior, discerned as concealment of the face, and to say that it is as important to him as the disclosure of the face. It means that one should be as glad as though he has already acquired the disclosure of the face. However, one cannot persist and appreciate the concealment like the disclosure, except when one works in bestowal. At that time, one can say, "I do not care what I feel during the work, because what is important to me is that I want to bestow upon the Creator. If the Creator understands that he will have more contentment if I work in a form of a Ahorayim, posterior, I agree."
We should advance. Of course, if we will not receive from above the force of bestowal, Bina, the upper light, it doesn't matter how you call it, we cannot yet distinguish all of these things. If we do not get it from above, of course we will remain in the initial influence that only awakens within us the will to receive. And about that it says, if the Lord will not build a house, its builders work in vain. Meaning, if the Creator doesn't give us the force of bestowal, so that in it, in that force, we will also be able to want, and maybe even later on to perform actions of bestowal. If he doesn't do it, then we are doomed. Then we remain in our initial nature, which is only the will to receive. This is what it is about. So, as much as we will understand that here there is some other illumination from above, which is called the force of bestowal, the upper light, and this is what we should try to come closer to ask for to receive. Then we will change. And if we won't get it, then we will not change. So it's one of two. So what do we have to do in order for us to receive from above that force of bestowal? As much as we do from below, whatever is within our power. Within our power, it's we can connect between us. Let's connect in all kinds of different forms. It's possible to study. Let's study. It's possible to pray. Let's pray. Let's ask. And so on. Everything that is within our power to do from below, let us do it. Kabbalists tell us, those who already received this force of bestowal from above, in addition to the force of reception that we all received, they told us, do such and such and such actions and you will be successful. So we checked it ourselves and we succeeded. Then we're done. So let's do it.
Feelings, these sensations and the feeling that we have to act as if it is in our senses.
Yes, this is how we should do it. It's as though we are in the force of bestowal. In the group, and also with the friends, and in the whole world, as much as possible, to be in the force of bestowal. We need to yearn all the time to be in a disposition towards connection, towards mutual bestowal, mutual support. And out of that, as much as we can gather our desires and thoughts towards that, we need to aim them to the Creator, to connection and fulfillment. That is all.
Kiev 2.
So, Rav,
Kiev 2.
That means working in Achoraim, all these acts that you just described?
Achoraim, posterior, means actions that I perform at a time that it doesn't shine for me. When I'm in darkness, when I am in the opposite of what I want to do, this is called the state of Achoraim, posterior. When the upper one deliberately is giving me such conditions in which I will be able to establish myself so as to work above reason. Even though it doesn't shine for me, even though I don't understand, and I have all kinds of disturbances, in spite of that, I try to raise myself above whatever the upper one establishes for me. Because I understand that by that, he is developing me. If I do not understand it and I forget about it, then I have a group.
Barur.
This is clear? Okay, Kiev 2.
Kiev 2.
Yes, thank you, dear Rav. You basically answered my question, but in the excerpt, it talks about the state of joy that when we feel it in the Achoraim, in the turn, despite it, we have to be in a state of joy. Where do we take the joy?
We get joy out of the fact that we are working against our ego and coming closer to the Creator. Against our ego, we're coming closer to the Creator. Even though our ego wants to distance us from the Creator, this is how we have to establish the correct form of our state with respect to the Creator. But we do want to come closer in what? By developing within us the force of bestowal.
Beseder.
Okay.
Natania.
Natania.
Can any...
With your permission, I will try to make a precision. The friends are sitting here with me, and each one has his own grievance, complaint. And I don't feel like doing things. So, what exactly is the Achoraim here, and what joy can be in these Achoraim?
Achoraim, posterior, means that nothing shines to me, and I'm happy that nothing shines to me, because if it would shine, I would not be able to perform any nearing to the friends, any actions of bestowal, because it would shine, and I'd be happy like a drunkard. So that nothing matters. Only my individual state. Because the Creator gives me the state of Ahoraim, of posterior, that it doesn't shine for me, so I feel myself how much I'm not in bestowal, I'm not close to the Creator. So by that, He actually gives me an opportunity to come closer. By not shining to me, He doesn't fill my vessels of reception. And then I'm not bribed.
And
in this way, I can advance correctly. Sometimes, a little bit of darkness can make a friend run away. So how do we develop that ability of seeing the darkness as an opportunity to advance?
We need to talk about how all the states we go through are all directed toward the purpose of creation, toward the final point. And therefore, in all the states we go through, there is a need for the upper one. So we have to develop an importance for each and every state.
So it's worthwhile to talk about it in the 10, about the states we go through and talk about how they're useful for our advancement.
Gracias, Rab. Rab, estoy confuso porque el texto dice...
Thank you, Rab. It's a little bit confusing for me because the text says that a person should feel joy as though he has already acquired the disclosure of the face, but this is not something that we feel during the work.
It's not what you feel, but it's what you should feel. So work on what he writes in all those excerpts until you achieve it. So that for you, the face or the back, panim or achoraim, will be the same. And it won't matter if you have concealment or revelation. But rather, you want to work only in order to bring contentment to the Creator. And this is what fills you, satisfies you. Internet.
From Africa, they're asking, if we justify everything that the Creator does, isn't that actually within reason, within our logic? How does that not contradict the concept of faith about reason?
I
justify what the Creator does because I believe that it is all in order to develop my vessels of reception. Yes, this is why I experience all the states with the power of faith, that it all comes from the Creator, and it is all in order to develop my vessels of bestowal, not reception, bestowal, to bring me closer to vessels of reception, of bestowal, to adhesion with the Creator.
Mark 19, what is the boundary between asking from the Creator to see Him as good and doing good within reason versus the belief, the faith that He is good and doing good above reason?
Asking the Creator to see Him within reason is a klipa, a shell. And above reason is kedusha, holiness.
A question from Latin. It says in excerpt 12 that seeing contradicts faith. So how come we say about the Creator, bo'eh, that come and see?
There is seeing in the light of mercy, seeing in the light of wisdom, an egoistic seeing. All, there are all kinds of seeing, ways to see. So we want to see in the light of faith. So the darkness shines as light.
A question from Mark 36. Why is the day of the Lord darkness and not light?
The day of the Lord is darkness and not light because for the Creator, the day is a day of bestowal. And for us, the day is a day of reception. And therefore we are opposites. We have to perform such actions. In which we are drawn to a state where the darkness becomes light. So the darkness shines as light. So what seems to us in our vessels of reception, which is why it was darkness, we correct those vessels to work in order to bestow, and then we can see the light in those vessels.
Question from Argentina 1. Does the Creator make us work in the posterior in order to make us work in bestowal? Does it increase the faith above reason that we have?
We don't limit ourselves. On the contrary, we constantly expand our vessels. I'm not going against reason. I only broaden my vessels. What do we see from our entire reality? A very tiny reality. We are impressed in our very narrow, limited vessels of reception, and we have nothing else. We don't know what happens before we are born, after we die, and reality itself, where we are. Who is managing us? What are we doing? What are the results and the consequences of our actions? We don't see any of it. So it turns out that we are like tiny critters that have no eyes. And we don't know how to work. This is why we first of all have to receive from the Creator the powers to see. Vision means the power of bestowal, and then we will know what world we are in. Then we won't exist only because we are afraid of death and of pain. We will rise above all those discernments, these bad discernments. This is what we need to rise above our will to receive, which limits us from one end to the other.
So, why does the Creator make us work in the posterior if we don't see all of these things?
To want to work in the face.
A question from Rus 6. Why everything that we read now is so unclear? There's nothing that you can hold on to, that you can grasp in order to start to feel and internalize these things.
I understand you. It's really not clear and not understood, and it won't be clear or understood until we receive from above the power of bestowal. When we receive the power of bestowal from above, we will immediately begin to feel, understand, and position correctly all of reality. But if we don't receive the power of bestowal, we will remain in the dark.
A question from Ita 6. It says in excerpt 12 that a person does something that contradicts the intellect. This is called against one reason. This is called faith above reason. What does it mean to go against one's reason, one's intellect?
It is written, they have eyes, but they do not see. Meaning, I don't follow my ego, which manages me. Rather, I follow the advice of Kabbalists. They tell me, unite among you. And I unite. They say, you can see reality not in your own eyes, but through the eyes of the group. So I try to connect among us, among the friends, in such a way that I will see reality through the tent, through the group, through the center of our connection. And then, in this way, I can come to see with the light of faith, the light of bestowal. Another excerpt or two.
Okay, so excerpt 14 from Shamadi 42. When one comes to a state where one has no support, one's state becomes blank, which is the lowest quality, lowest phase in the upper world. And that becomes the Keter to the lower one, as the Kli of Keter is a vessel of bestowal. The lowest phase in the upper one is Malchut, which has nothing of its own. Only in this manner it is called Malchut. It means that if one takes upon himself the kingdom or malchut of heaven, which is a state of not having anything gladly, afterwards it becomes ketil, which is a vessel of bestowal.
Раф, а что вот к этому состоянию кетера мы можем прийти только в отсутствие опоры.
Rav, in that state of Keter, can we reach it only even without having any hold on it, any grasp?
But it's natural that if you raise yourself from below upward, then when you come through all your sefirot from Malchut to Keter, then above your Keter, you have a higher partsuf. And what is it there? And it's Malchut, Malchut. Of the upper one is above the keter of the lower one. And then you enter Malchut of the upper one. Malchut of the upper one is black. It has no light in it. And then you work with your partsuf, you being the lower one, you work with your partsuf, and your first action is to accept, receive Malchut of the Upper One as your Keter. There's actually plenty of light there, otherwise you wouldn't have a Partsuf in the first place. But for you, it is darkness, because you are still not in the qualities, in such qualities that you can feel, distinguish, to see that the upper one is filled with light. Except for you, it is darkness, because you're not in the qualities of bestowal. You're still not in them. And therefore, it seems to you like all the operations it performs and all the filling that is in it is darkness. You don't want it. You're not set up for it. But if you raise yourself up above yourself, it is called acquiring the force of bestowal above your reason, above your egoistic desire. Then you begin to equalize yourself with the upper one. And then you begin to see that the upper one is filled with lights and shines. And you receive from it the feeling, the understanding, everything. On condition that you make some efforts, a little bit of efforts, to be similar to the upper one. That's it. This is how we rise from one state to the next, from one degree to the next, from the lower Potsuf to a higher Potsuf, from Keter of the lower one to Malchut of the upper one. Okay.
Просто тут из отрывка такое складывается впечатление, что...
It's just that here from this excerpt, this impression, we get this impression that we need to start the work by the Creator placing it in darkness.
It is true. It is true. The work begins. The work begins with the person feeling that he is in the dark. Because that's the first condition. For him to be able to do the work, he's been required, demanded to do the work. But if he doesn't feel that he is in the darkness, then what can he do? He didn't receive conditions to work. On what will he work?
Так, а это условие, когда он получил эту тьму, это как бы призыв.
And this condition that when one gets this darkness, it's a call for upliftment?
Yes, yes, good, correct.
לכן מקובלים.
This is why Kabbalists are happy when the darkness shines for them, because it is an invitation to ascend. Go from one grade to the next.
So everything is organized in the way that we will go above.
Yes, of course. Of course. It is not we who do these things. We have to do what Kabbalists, because they connect us to the upper force. So what Kabbalists who connect us to the upper force recommend for us to do. And then by this, we respond correctly to the upper force, which then continues to nurture us, to raise us.
Rav, there are friends that are not here with us, and they wanted to be. They wanted to be with us. How can we help these friends? We, from our 10, can we do their work?
No, we need to do our work. And think only about them, that if they want to join, we're willing to accept them. Either into an additional 10, or even within our 10, depending on what friends and what situation, what state they're in. We can't stop ourselves, our progress, in order to tend to them. No. We need to perform actions by which we bestow more and more upon the Creator and not upon people. To people we are willing to do everything so they will join us and go with us, but not that we tend to them and that this is our main thing in life. No. The purpose of creation is nevertheless to bestow upon the Creator, and by this to achieve equivalence with Him.
In us as people, as human beings, what does it do?
We receive from the Creator the power of bestowal only on condition that we want to receive it in some way to bring us to bring the will to receive, to be equipped with the force of bestowal. The Creator takes us through all kinds of states, through suffering, through problems, life, death. Look what humanity is going through. And all those things join into one great amount or account. That's it. So now we're finally beginning to understand, because of all the blows and states we're going through, we're beginning to understand that there is a purpose to these states, and the purpose is higher, higher and higher, until we come to a state where the purpose is to rise above our states and into a perception of reality, a relation to reality that is completely different, that it is not, that the problem is not with reality, and that this is what we have to correct, but we are the problems. We are the problem, and we are what needs to be corrected. And because we give up on our efforts to correct the world, this is how Kabbalists call those people in the world, yes, as world reformers. These are mainly philosophers and thinkers and whatnot. We don't need to correct the world. There's nothing to correct in the world. We need to correct ourselves, as we learn in the perception of reality, that everything is within us. And therefore, we need to correct only ourselves and turn our relation to reality, invert our relation to reality. You want to create a different reality? Correct yourself. But by wanting to correct yourself egoistically, you become corrupted in some different way. You become a socialist, a philosopher, a democrat, there are many names to it. In this you also go through all kinds of states until you finally understand that to correct, you need only to correct yourself and not the world. And with this relation, when you come to bestowal upon everyone, and that too is not good, it's not enough. That too is a klipa, a shell. But in order to bring contentment to the Creator, then you really come to the form of absolute bestowal. Meaning you have to go through several states here until you finally understand in what is the real purpose of your development.
Sometimes we're told that we respond to states that are unpleasant for our ego, that it's for the better, it's towards correction. Sometimes we're told to tell the ego, suffer, this is how the Creator created you. So when should we answer this way? When should we answer that way when the ego is suffering?
You're right. Sometimes, as Rabash would say, we tell it, let it suffer, when he would talk about his body. But this isn't really the purpose of creation. The purpose of creation is to enjoy in all of ourselves, in all of our inclinations, in all of our desires, through infinity, from one end to the other. But when can we do it? On condition and to the extent that all our desires are aiming to bestow. Then I enjoy in them to the fullest in order to bestow upon the Creator. But first, I have to, in my every cell, in every desire, I have to aim in order to bestow, meaning to fill up all the cells of my soul, the cells of my desire, to fill them with the light of mercy, chasadim. And on top of the light of chasadim, I am willing to receive the light of chokhmah, the light of wisdom, and not otherwise. Therefore, I say to my egoistic will to receive, let it suffer. Because it forces me to enjoy where I am. And to this, I object. I want to come to enjoy giving to the Creator. PT 13.
Can you explain the joy that awakens at a time of darkness?
Then it's not darkness anymore. It is already called the darkness shines as light. Darkness is with respect to the will to receive. And shines as light means it is with the light of chasadim, light of mercy, when the light of bestowal is revealed to me. You understand? This is what happens.
Moscow 3. What does it mean to see through the eyes of the group?
To try to clothe in the friends. That's it?
Mark 19, we read, Malchut has none of her own, nothing. How does that come to expression in the 10?
When no one demands for himself, but wants to help the friends satisfy their deficiencies. This is called mutual responsibility toward those who are on the same boat.
I heard
that the Kabbalists are happy in this darkness looming to them because it's time to ascend. I'd receive the invitation and what to think about it.
They receive, they're happy with the darkness as with the light, and even more than with the light, because it gives them the opportunity to rise to a higher state. And therefore, as he says, there is no happier state in a person's world than when he despairs with his own strength, which is darkness. And only if he now cries out to the Creator, it will elevate him to a higher degree.
In the meantime, yes. Next.
How can we direct to bestow contentment to the Creator when there is no connection with Him? Any connection.
But instead of Him, you have a 10, which is the same pattern with, like meeting with the Creator. If you have no 10, you have no place to meet the Creator. That's the whole difference between religion, when you may pray, cry out, ask, and be seemingly in contact with the Creator, and the wisdom of Kabbalah, which is a method to reveal the Creator to the created being in this world. That's how it's written. That's the definition of the wisdom of Kabbalah. So what's the difference? The difference is that the wisdom of a Kabbalah reveals the Creator to a person. He starts revealing the Creator as the most important thing, the closest to Him, because the Creator begets His soul and nurtures, develops His soul, and fills his soul. And it's felt inside a person as the main thing, the most internal thing he has. Whereas beliefs, faiths, religions and philosophies of all sorts are only logical and intellectual than you think, in the intellect. That's why that's not considered attainment. That's the difference. We must hear the Kabbalists because they open up new vessels altogether for us to...
Hello, Rav. Hello, friends. We spoke about this seemingly, but what does Bala Sulam talk about here? What did we need to do differently in Russian society? How could it have worked for correctly?
History cannot be changed. History is not given to us to learn and to do differently, but rather to learn that it was impossible to do. It is impossible for us to do as they did. That's it. No more. They wanted to build, say, egoistic communism, which wasn't for the sake of everyone, aimed at all human beings, but rather it has to be aimed at the Creator as well. What's the difference between bestowing to people and bestowing to the Creator? If I'm bestowing to the entire humanity, if for me there is no difference between nations, races, nothing, and I see everyone in a straightforward, equal way, that's not enough. No. The relation has to be in bestowal, and we don't understand here. But we can already understand that the relation has to be in this true spiritual bestowal. Spiritual. Spiritual means that we can rise above reason, that we will acquire the quality of bestowal, which will work in us instead of the quality of reception. And that's only possible under the condition that we observe, we keep what the Kabbalists have told us. Being in a kibbutz is good, but what's the intention? For us to be good, for us to feel better, whatever we do ultimately will turn around in an egoistic intention. Whereas here, the intention has to be to bestow outside of me. That's what humanity has to come to. Adhesion with the Creator. That's why, without the wisdom of Kabbalah, without conditions that we have to keep, so that the upper light, the upper nature will bestow upon us, we cannot come out of it that.
Граф, то есть они не включили компонент учебы Каббалы, так получается? So, there is no component there of study of Kabbalah there, you say?
Yes, at least that. It's not only the studying the wisdom of Kabbalah, it's also realizing it. Realizing it, we have to do everything in order to draw the light on us, that it will change our nature. We have to reach a state that the upper light bestows upon us and obligates us to change our perception on reality. When I see reality before me that I want to give, to bestow, to be outside of me. And all these communist ways are the opposite. Let's close ourselves. Let's gather ourselves inside. Let's be strong against everyone else. It's a complete opposite approach. It's as if we're inside some kind of a place that is closed and we want to stay in it and protect ourselves. What is in the work for the Creator that gives us fuel?
This, that we're doing it for the sake of the Creator.
That's not clear. Where does the fuel come from?
The fuel, of course, comes from the Creator. I'm answering you precise the question. Maybe you want to ask something else or you mean something else, but express it in words.
He says that as long you work for the sake of humanity, you don't have fuel. If he would work for the Creator, he would have fuel.
Right.
So what I'm asking,
because what you can describe to yourself for the benefit of humanity, it's not for the benefit of humanity, it's for the benefit of man. I want to determine that I'm right, that I'm great, that I'm going to be the manager, and so on and so on. And so thus I work, and I say it's for the sake of humanity. It's not for the sake of humanity, it's for myself.
That's why.
If it was really for the sake of humanity, then I already need the force of bestowal, the upper force, the force of the Creator. Thus, whoever says they can work only for the sake of society, that's a lie. He's a liar. He doesn't understand what he's saying.
So, for the sake of himself, he has no fuel to work?
For himself, there's no fuel to work, because that's it. We've already reached such development, such states, that we've all developed on our own egoistically. And now, we need to reach our development by connection between us. It's like we see in nature in general, that they would develop, let's say, amoebas, all sorts of little parts, until from little particles they reached atoms, and from atoms to molecules, and from molecules to even greater structures, and bodies that have mind and sensation, and there's a division of roles inside their connections and so on, and such they reached a state until there is made an animate body.
So where does this addition of fuel come from? That when it comes from the Creator, where does it come from?
From this that we begin to feel that we are lacking forces in order to maintain ourselves. And we make an effort to receive them from nature egoistically, and we're incapable. And so we are raising our hands, yielding. There's nothing we can do. We'll be, we'll be. And here we need to reveal the wisdom of Kabbalah, that all our development that was beforehand was in order to reveal zero, that there is no correct goal or forces to attain any true goal. We don't have it. And now we need to recognize it, to begin to recognize the truth of creation.
What does it mean that if they could picture the Creator as the goal, as the target? What is this addition by man?
Again,
what's the addition when the working for humanity or working for the Creator? What's the addition that he pictures?
To work for the sake of the Creator, I mean, it means that he needs to rise above himself. To work for the sake of humanity also need to rise above himself, because he doesn't feel what humanity is. For me, it is some concealed force. I don't have a vessel that is called humanity that is felt. But family, yes. Money, food, sex, that yes, I'm willing to work for that. But humanity, even the nation, I can't really say. Barely, I have some sensation like that. It needs to be an egoistic sensation that it's in me. You understand? And then I can work. Then I'll work. But if there is no such sensation, then how will we work? Let's say the nation of Israel, it has no sensation of a nation, because they don't come from one group that grew and was established as such in nature. And thus, it's not a nation. It's not a nation. It was never a nation. Rather, if not for all the pressure and the hate from all the world, this group long ago would have been erased from all. They would just dissolve on the rest of the nations, but rather it's only the anti-Semitism which kept this nation in existence.
Baal HaSulam says the entire success is in this addition of for the Creator's sake. So if we're talking about the farmer who's working for the Creator, what does it mean on his for him adding this for the Creator?
For the sake of the Creator is something that is above reason. A connection with the upper force that you can receive it by this, that you are revealing the upper force. And to reveal it, you can only by equivalence of force with him, equivalence of form with him. Otherwise, no. This is seemingly the small addition. But after this addition, a whole world is opened before you. The spiritual world, the true reality.
That's it, exactly. When he describes here results in a huge scale, but the Creator is gone. So what does it mean?
You need to build him. He's not outside of you. There's no Creator without created being. Let's talk about this point specifically for a few minutes. How do we reveal the Creator? How do we build him? Why the Creator is called Bore? Come and see, that doesn't exist. Invites the light that reforms, and it works. Meaning, we cannot reach revelation of the Creator if we don't reach the form of the created being. And the form of the created being is the ten, the group. Yeah, first of all, we make an effort in some extent to be incorporated of one another. That's the meaning of there is no creator without created being. That this is the general force that fills all of reality. And in the extent that you specifically build the created being called the ten, in this extent you can, according to the force intensity of the ten, according to its character, you can reveal from the sum total force that is abstract of all. On one hand, it fills everything. On the other hand, not felt by anyone. Rather, for each one, whoever forms the correct... Others don't have questions either. We are always encountering the same point, getting stuck on it, that we must be connected. We must reach a state that we're disconnecting from the our egoistic self. We are incorporated in the we, which is not felt in us at all. What is this term, we, at all? Us. And this we, this us, this is exactly the quality of bina, quality of bestowal, that we disconnect from the me, from the malchut, and we all make the effort to reach bina. And there we connect by that same force of bina, light of bestowal, light of mercy, chasadim, that it helps us to annul one before the other. That's it. From this moment onwards, we are called created beings. But what will we get out of it? Only the summary that whomever works for the society without reaching or the intention to bestow, that's called for the sake of the Creator. Here, even egoistically, we are ruining the very essence of this sentence, this verse, that if not for the sake of the Creator, then it's not good. For the sake of the Creator means that if we don't attain the true quality of bestowal above reason, if we don't accept this force from above that helps us to perform actions entirely not for our own benefit, for the benefit of our ego. That's the meaning. And thus, that's how we need to understand that that's why the Creator will not forgive them. He writes. Why? In our words, we could understand that they were not yearning for on the intention to bestow truly, for faith above reason, to rise above their vessels of reception. They only wanted to do good to one another and not to work for the force of bestowal. In maybe even simpler words understood to us, they weren't working in order to rise above the general ego and to exit to the nature of bestowal. To the degree of the upper world. They didn't want it, they didn't understand it, they weren't meant for it. And thus, they weren't capable of it. Rabash told
and
so, that's the difference. Were they working in order to connect, in order to reveal something, or in order to truly bestow, to rise to Lishma? Once again, the same point that we're always in comes back. Are we reaching Lishma or not? If we don't reach Lishma, everything we build is some communism, socialism, I don't know what, that ultimately is destroyed. Because the Creator will not allow to build anything less than the end of correction. That we will all be in the force of bestowal, the true force of bestowal.
Aruchani.
The spiritual one.
So in our dissemination for, do we have to always add for the sake of the Creator? Otherwise it will be a failure.
For the sake of the Creator, you can say it as much as you want, from the mouth outward. But to work for the Creator is already something else. This that we learn already what it means to truly be on the intention to bestow, meaning faith above reason, meaning that we accept, we acquire the true quality of bestowal. We'll do all sorts of actions, and according to these actions, we'll come closer as long as it will take, but we'll make an effort that it will occur.
PT 38, what is the covenant of the servitude of the Creator throughout the lesson that we have to take upon ourselves?
We need, over the course of the lessons, especially lately, and we'll also continue, we're beginning to learn, to acquire, to get closer to faith above reason. We need to always hold ourselves such that our work, our effort must be very serious, that each one will worry for this, that he's always thinking about the connection between us. In a simple way, through the 10, as much as possible. But it's an obligation that it must be.
Moscow 13, how to adapt oneself to the fact that through studying such an article like the Peace, the upper light comes to correct. Does it happen through the connection with our author?
First of all, it occurs in connection between us. That if we want, in connection between us, to reveal what the author wanted to send us, then we reveal him as sending to us. There is no corporeal death separating between us. That's nonsense. Not at all. There's no matter in it at all. There's no distance between us and the author. Rather, in the extent that we want to receive what he's writing and to realize it upon ourselves. And to that extent,
yes. So his calculation saying not forgiving Russia, it's not with Russia, but rather with Israel, being in Russia.
Yes, what's to blame that same person who's suffering? The suffering is because we don't receive the method of connection. And to realize the connection already belongs to those who once maybe received some time or can receive maybe. Let's say for each one of us today, they can come to us in a demand. It doesn't matter which one of us is a Jew or not. Why are we? This is the form of the judgment that the soul is judged. Why did you not cause correction according to what you received?
And what about today? If today we will be judged, we are...
It's better that this trial will be delayed. We have yet what to do. I don't see that we are coming out not guilty.
Why?
What have we done?
We do. We work.
All right. And each and every moment, if you stop and do the math, I don't think you come out is it coming out to our benefit, for our good? But surely we can succeed, right? Every day we have new vessels, better ones, that in greater understanding, sensation, and in connection, thus we can advance today as well.